All right, remember, the machine knows if you're lying. First statement, Carvana will give you a real offer on your car all online.
False.
True, actually. Oh. You can sell your car in minutes.
False? That's gotta be...
True again. Carvana will pick up your car from your door, or you can drop it off at one of their car vending machines.
Sounds too good to be true, so true!
Finally caught on. Nice job. Honesty isn't just their policy, it's their entire model. Sell your car today, too.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
When you think of good times and spring break, you think of warm places and fun places like Miami Beach, right?
Oh, well, it's always been a very popular choice.
Nobody's going to Miami Beach anymore.
Is that right?
Right. Actually, it's hilarious. Miami has had enough of all the party animals that take over the streets, so they've launched a campaign with super strict new measures to put a stop to all the craziness that goes on. And they post a video of the city itself. This is an official campaign against spring break, and it looks like a reality show. Listen to this.
Miami Beach, here we come.
Miami Beach.
Once we got to Miami Beach, things went downhill fast.
How you guys doing? What's going on?
You're drinking in public. That's not allowed. The speaker, that's not allowed.
So it's showing all the cops getting involved and saying all the things that'll happen if they go there and get rowdy.
Oh, man. I mean, what a relief you live in that neighborhood, right? I mean, the thing with spring break is it's just so many people.
The real villain here is all these rules.
DUI checkpoints.
You think I wanted it to be like this?
Police.
You have to take off your tent.
$100 parking.
No.
Sign clearly says.
She can't read, sir.
Spring break.
Worst spring break ever.
I gotta say, it's a good campaign. These videos look like real reality shows, and it's funny. And I understand. It's gotten crazy.
Yeah.
And a lot of terrible things happen. And Miami's a classy, beautiful place. It should stay that way.
It's not often that you turn business away, right?
Mm-hmm.
So obviously they're pretty serious about getting people to try other spots to go to. Where was your best spring break?
We went to Mazatlan one year, which is in Mexico, and it's on the opposite. It's like the Cancun of the West Coast. And it was crazy. And they 100% embraced the spring breakers that came. I mean, the first night, somebody pushed me off a bar and I broke my foot. And then I had to be carried the rest of the time by my sorority sisters.
Oh.
And it didn't stop us.
Yeah.
And now as an adult and I look back, I think that probably should have stopped me.
Yeah.
You know? That should have been the end of the party.
Slowed you down a little bit anyways, right?
No.
I made the mistake of going to Cancun one time on spring break and I wasn't even aware. I just needed a vacation that time of year, but luckily the hotel was so big when I pulled up. They were like, are you here for spring break? And I was like, no. They were like, okay, we're going to put you in the East Tower.
Smart. Listen to this headline I just saw. Global study finds rodent boom linked to climate change in New York City and beyond. So New York City has always had a rat problem, but it's getting worse. And it's because of climate change. That's the reason why. And it's not just New York City. It's Washington, D.C., San Francisco, Toronto, which, according to the study, has the biggest rat creases in the world.
Well, I mean, here's the thing, right? City, cockroaches, rats, they're always going to be there because there's always going to be a certain amount of material that's decomposing. There's going to be something for them to digest, ingest, and therefore flourish, right?
Yeah.
And it's got all these little areas.
New York City has become obsessed with trying to get rid of rats, and that they even have a rat czar that her job is to figure out how to get rid of the rats.
Yeah.
And it's not going so well since there's pictures of rats gnawing through those new rat-proof garbage cans that they made.
That's great. They're like, oh, you think you got us? Watch this.
Right. And then there's just pictures of rats eating right through it.
We just got tougher.
They're taking it so seriously that this happened.
The first anti-rat day of action was held in Harlem.
We've had rats the size of Crocs just running up and down the street, like a Croc shoe. An average size 8 running up and down the street.
She knew a size.
An average size 8.
It wasn't right. A size 10 Croc.
Yeah, it wasn't an alligator.
Yeah.
Everybody has a rat story, Anna.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, I remember growing up and my father used to tell me a story about rat. There was a rat supposedly at the beach area. Many rats that would be the size of small chihuahuas.
Oh.
And the thing that was so terrifying about that story, by the way, I never saw one, but I looked for one constantly, and we were there every summer. My family had a property there. And you know what? The thing that was terrifying was because you don't expect to see it at the beach. He'd be like, oh, yeah, it'd just be walking right down the street in the middle of the day. That's not a good rat.
No.
If he's out there the size of a dog and he's walking around during the day and he's not worried about cover, that's not a rat you want to encounter.
No, I had a rat encounter. I had a couple. I've had, actually, honestly, many rat encounters. But one of the most terrifying was at my old home.
Hmm.
We used to have a little patio off our back door.
Yeah.
And I was standing at the back patio door and I looked out and there was a rat. At my house, right outside.
Come on.
And I freaked out. So what do? I immediately call my husband, right? Here's us talking about it last night.
Yeah.
Because this is always going to be a point of contention with us.
I would imagine.
Baby, remember when I saw the rat outside of our old house?
No.
Remember I saw the rat and I made you go get all the traps?
It was a vole.
It was not a vole. It was a rat. I saw it with my own two eyes.
It was a vole. That's why I got coyote urine.
And it didn't, well, I mean, I never saw the rat again, so maybe coyote urine worked. But I'm telling you, it was not a vole, it was a rat. I saw its tail. It was ginormous. It looked me right in the eye.
It wasn't a rat.
It was a rat.
Yeah.
No, how does he know what I saw if he wasn't there? Can somebody explain that to me?
I mean, maybe he saw it after? Did he see it after?
No, it was
coyote
a rat.
Urine.
He was so he
pretty
was
pretty good detractor.
So as I was obsessed with the rat that I saw once ever in the 6 years that we lived there.
Possible vole.
No, it was a rat.
Okay.
He became obsessed with all the holes in the yard.
Oh yeah, well that's the voles.
So one day I noticed that all of our hairbrushes, me and my daughters, all the hair had been taken out.
Yeah, you stick it in the hole.
He stuck it in all the holes outside. And then when
he was reading a lot of stuff.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, there's a lot of different cures, supposedly, for the voles.
Then the next day, this big box shows up from Amazon. I open it, and it's coyote urine. And he's, like, spraying it in the holes. Now,
they'll ship you anything.
Maybe it worked because I never saw the rat again.
Yeah.
But it wasn't a vole I saw. Maybe we had voles, too, but there was a rat there.
Everybody has seen a rat before. That's all I'm saying.
The rat population is growing, and it's because of climate change, according to a new study.
Yeah, warm temperatures, lots of rain. It's going to happen. Rodent boom.
Yeah, it's gross. And everybody remembers when you see a rat for the first time.
Yeah.
When did you see a rat? You had your rat encounter.
Hey, David, what's your rat story? You know you got a rat story.
So I used to run restaurants in the city, and the restaurant was right outside of Penn Station. We left out some crab patties, and in the morning we had a gigantic rat. For 2 weeks, it messed with everyone in the store. It would, like, jump around. And finally, we got it killed with a trap. When the exterminators came, you know, they put out those bait traps. I'm looking at the size of the holes. I'm like, that's not big enough for this rat.
Right.
So, yeah, it was a Subway rat that got in, and that thing was it was big, and it was just terrible.
I mean, you've got to know that the rat is huge, Anna, if it's the only rat around, right? Like, I mean, if you're like clearly 100%. The alpha rat in the area, no other rats are coming out. These are crab cakes we're talking about. You know, this is fresh seafood that we're talking about here in the city. No other rat dared to venture out to go ahead and get that food. That's a big rat.
That's a godfather of rats.
Yeah, right.
That restaurant,
rat.
Yeah, the restaurant now belongs to the rat.
Right.
You're lucky you survived it, honestly. Yeah.
You think you killed him, but he still haunts the place.
It's true.
Right. Wow.
David, your rat story.
So one of my college friend's roommates had a pet rat. That was the first time that I'd seen one up close. He had three of them, and he was walking around. One was in his hand, and two of them were on his shoulders. You know, you're not used to seeing a rat as a pet, you know? So I thought, like, it was weird when I saw him, like, walk in the room and they say, hey, do you want to hold them? And me, I'm an animal-loving human, so I said, yeah, I mean, sure. And I held them for a couple, you know, minutes, and then I gave them back. And then I looked on my shirt, and there was a little accident on my shirt.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, what?
Oh, yeah. My God. Oh,
yeah. I was like,
no,
what
I don't
want
to touch your rat. I don't want to touch your rat.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, yeah, no, that they pee on you. That's what they do. I was like, why didn't you tell me? Yeah,
why would
do
that?
I mean, look, they pee and they poop all over the place.
I can't.
Mice, rats, hamsters, gerbils, anything like that. They're not house trained.
Some people, and by some people, I mean my husband, Paul, because he's the only person I've ever met that this happens to.
Yeah.
But when dogs see him, they get excited
they pee.
And pee.
Yeah.
All the time. And every time we go to my best friend Danielle's house or my cousin Angela's house,
yeah,
we walk in the door, they yell. They're like, don't come in until because they want to move the dog. But nope, the dog will pee right in the entrance the minute he walks in.
I mean, that much pee?
Yes.
Like, not just like a sprinkle.
No.
Like a pee.
No, he makes the dogs go to the bathroom.
I don't know if that's
it's the
like
weirdest,
excited.
It's so,
so much
I've
is terrified.
At first, I thought it was a joke.
Yeah.
And then I realized, no, it must be a smell he has. He makes the dogs pee. It's the strangest thing.
Does he walk in like boisterous, like big voice?
Yeah, he walks in excited because he likes to see the dogs.
Yes,
and then they just get so excited
and
to see him.
It's fun for him to see whether or not he can make them pee.
And they all do. All of them. He'll make your dogs pee too, Raven, I swear.
No, he could
yes,
not.
Yes, he will.
My dogs
yes,
have never will. Done that.
You watch. Watch.
I don't want to play that game.
No.
I don't want to try that.
No, he's got a magic
How
thing. He makes dogs pee. It's just his energy. He has pee energy.
He's got big pee energy.
That's what he has.
Oh, my God.
Yep. If you're a parent, you're used to be put in uncomfortable situations
where sure.
Your children ask you questions and you don't really know how to answer and you kind of just stumble over your words and look outside and hope that they'll go away.
I mean, this could be prompted by anything. They're going to see things out in the world. They're going to hear things, obviously, other people's conversations. What happened?
I'm very open with my children. If they ask me a question, I answer them directly because I want them to understand that they have questions they can ask me.
Right.
My CVS, which is a pharmacy, CVS,
mm-hmm.
they...
You've heard of it.
Yeah. Multiple locations near where I live, they have put the adult entertainment and health tools things right next to where you pick up your prescriptions.
I'm sorry, adult entertainment? What is that?
Adult toys.
Okay. Oh.
Okay.
Like a personal massager.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Right.
All right. Okay. No. Okay. Yeah. Now, Raven, you know.
Yeah, that is so uncomfortable.
I don't like it.
You don't like to discuss this with adults.
I don't talk about this with anybody. That's not my thing.
Talk about this with girlfriends?
No. What happens in closed doors happens behind closed doors, and I think that should be the way things are.
Okay.
Now. Why in the world CVS would put all these items right next to the prescription pickup where I have to stand in line with my kid in a case that has to be unlocked. So now it draws even more attention.
You know what this is?
What?
They put it there because it's like the Marshall's checkout line, right? Like that's where all the knickknacks are. That's where people are looking. You're standing there.
Nobody
and
is
that's
that.
Where you're going to buy.
So,
that's where you're going to buy. It's a candy bar.
CVS has gotten very progressive because lately there's things in there that I don't even know what they are and I don't want to know either. So I have written an open letter to CVS about this situation.
Oh, that's nice.
Ready?
Right. Yeah, I'm
Cue
ready.
Me up.
I'm
Cue
ready.
Me up.
I'm ready. Go.
Dear Consumer Value Stores, a.k.a. CVS. I thought they would take me more seriously if I used the proper name.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's come to my attention that you have positioned your adult entertainment / health materials in a prime location near the prescription pickup area where I routinely stand in line for what seems like hours. Okay. That line is always so long.
So I get you're getting a dig in there and a complaint mm-hmm. at the same time,
right.
too.
Most times I have my young child with me. The brightly colored boxes and appliances are in a plastic case so no one can steal the items. Although I would think that most people would be slightly embarrassed to walk up to the pharmacist and ask for the tush kush. Also, I don't know what that is, probably a tool of Satan. Now, this week, once again, my six-year-old asked me what toys those were because they looked a lot like the case at Walmart that houses the Nintendo Switch games.
Same colors.
I didn't know what to say. So I just mumbled under my breath and I pointed to a Snickers bar. Now, if you want to put deodorant or cigarettes in the plastic cases,
cigarettes.
Sure, go for it. I'd rather explain to my child that cigarettes are bad for you and we don't stay away from those than have to explain whatever is in that case right now. Maybe put some Cool Water cologne or some Jacquard, the original sensual stimulators. That's easier to explain than whatever people do with vanilla chai flavored oils. I don't even know why that exists. Thank you for your attention to this matter, Anna Zapp.
That's really saying something. You're going to welcome back cigarettes to the pharmacy.
put it all back right. in there. I don't. You got.
It
I
makes
say,
you uncomfortable.
I don't
I think
like
you've
it.
Been clear about
I,
it.
I don't like it at all. It's
all right.
So weird.
I hope you're
so
listening,
weird.
CVS.
Yes. Wendy Warren is the Senior Vice President of Louisiana Restaurant Association. Wendy, it is go time. Super Bowl's coming
yes.
up on Sunday. How are the restaurants preparing for all these people that are coming?
We've staffed up. There are so many private parties happening, a lot of restaurant buyouts, and preparations have been underway for a couple weeks now.
Wendy, it's interesting that you mention that, because to me, that's always curious. A lot of people don't really get that. Is like the Super Bowl is not a day. It's not even a weekend. Typically, it's an entire week festivities.
Oh, yeah. We started off on Sunday night with a huge light show. Beautiful example of Louisiana artist interactive experience in Jackson Square. It was fantastic, and it runs every night of the week.
Wendy, you mentioned the buyouts there. You know, the restaurants, yes, the clubs, they're shutting down for private events. There is so much sponsorship involved. Like, listen, maybe you're the big wig in Louisiana who wants to show everybody how you do it in your town, but more often than not, these are major corporations that are coming in, and money is like raining from the sky like water.
Yes. Hallelujah. yeah, we're definitely excited about hosting folks with means and showing them what we're all about, our world-class food, our world-class hospitality, our walkable city. One of the things that is really cool about New Orleans and why the NFL likes to host Super Bowls here is it's incredibly walkable. From about 2.5 miles, you can go through what's called the Golden Triangle, and it's the French Quarter to the Convention Center to the Superdome. In an hour, you can get to all of those places and everything in between.
I've had my fair share of partying on Bourbon Street, I'll tell you that. But my favorite part always is the delicious food. And, you know, we talked about the restaurants, yes, being prepared, but if somebody wants to mimic the delicious things that you serve in New Orleans, what would be the top three things they should be making?
Oh, my goodness. So if I was coming and I hadn't been before, I would go for the warm muffalata at Napoleon House. Mm-hmm. And Napoleon House is a historic, beautiful old restaurant with lots of patina, and you can get a Pimm's cup or something stronger if you like. I am a huge fan of Killer Po' Boys, which is in the French Quarter, and they take local Louisiana seafood and produce and ingredients and kind of flip it on its head. So it's not your typical shrimp po' boy. And of course, you know, everyone here, you know, loves a good bowl of gumbo, whether it's 80 degrees outside or 40, like we eat it all the time. So you really can't go wrong. You can't throw a rock without hitting a great restaurant. And if you're not competing with everyone's mom's gumbo, then you're really probably not going to stay in business as a restaurant in Louisiana, in New Orleans.
There you go.
The best
beignet.
You got to
be good.
Pick it. You've got to name it. Best beignet.
Oh, my God. Every beignet is my favorite beignet.
Okay.
But, of course, Café du Monde. There's, yes, Café Beignet. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of good places to get beignets.
See, the game is one day, but you need a week to eat.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
One of the most fun cities in the entire world. And I'm,
yes.
And you have a fun weekend lined up, I'm sure.
I'm so excited.
It's never
Wendy.
Lost on me.
Yeah.
I can feel your energy. It's like this is the closest I've ever been to a Super Bowl. I'm Super Bowl adjacent right
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
Wendy Warren, Senior Vice President of Louisiana Restaurant Association. Thank you, Wendy. And who
Thank you.
Who are you rooting for?
Who dat? Go Saints.
The Saints.
Oh, all right.
Always the Saints, right.
The things that should be getting cheaper are getting more expensive.
Hmm.
And the stuff that's super expensive is getting cheaper.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's start with what's getting more expensive. Your eggs. You keep hearing about it. And then this announcement was made yesterday.
U.S. diner chain Waffle House has added a 50-cent surcharge for every egg in a customer's order.
50 cents an egg in a Waffle House order
wow.
being added. I know.
Yeah, you got to get your own chickens. That's mm-hmm. what I would suggest. Go out there, get some hens.
No, they're saying not to do it. They're saying a lot of people are trying to get their own chickens, and it's just realizing that it's costing them more money
okay.
because being able to obtain them and keep them healthy and all the things that go along with it.
The company said the fee is temporary and is a response to a dramatic increase in egg prices caused by bird flu outbreaks.
You know, even my grocery store has a sign on the refrigerator where the eggs are, and it says that the increase is because yeah. of the bird flu.
Yeah, and there's a limit at my grocery store where they sell, like Aldi, where
yeah.
they have them, like, you know, they're relatively cheap at Aldi. They put a limit on it. You can
really?
Only buy, like, two containers of it. But I went to Costco yesterday. Woo!
But a crate.
I got mad eggs.
So many eggs.
Oh, man, we're having breakfast tonight.
Oh, 20 eggs.
Tomorrow, every day.
Raven's got egg money.
I do. I got mad egg money.
All right. the irony of the whole thing is that you keep hearing about bird flu. I didn't realize how terrible it is.
Oh, it's terrible.
The main factor driving egg prices higher is damage to the laying flock from bird flu. The virus wiped out more than 20 million chickens in the U.S. last quarter.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it's absolutely terrible. And it's not even just chickens. It's all sorts of different birds, and it's in zoos, and it's at farms, and it's terrible.
All right. So that's
really sad.
The bad news. There's the bad news of the day.
Right.
Let's move to the kind of good. I don't know if this is good news or not, but on the flip side, definitely.
Well, I hope it's better than, you know, birds.
Well, it's better than bird flu. If you've ever wanted to go to the Super Bowl, but you thought you would never be able to afford tickets because they're always so expensive, this might actually be your chance to go. Tickets for the Super Bowl are actually going down. Listen.
Opening night, when it first happened, you know, you were looking at the, you know, $6,000 to $7,000 range to kind of get in. The prices have dropped a little bit this week, so it's already down to about $5,000 to get in.
And prices are well below what fans were paying on secondary markets last year for the Super Bowl in Las Vegas.
Ticket prices for the Super Bowl are going down.
Last year it was over $8,000 for a ticket. I remember I looked.
So the thing is, they're trying to figure out why.
Well,
and there's a couple different theories as to why.
Chiefs fatigue.
Well, that's a big one.
Yeah, Chiefs have been really good for a long time.
Like, do you really want to see the Chiefs win for a third time if you're outside of Kansas City?
Yeah.
Maybe not, you know?
Yeah, there's some of that.
But it also could be that the Superdome is just really big, and there's over 74,000 people.
Yeah.
So there's the thing that has not gone down is hotel prices in New Orleans.
That's the thing is, like, listen, if you think you're going to hop on and go to the Super Bowl right now, you're going to be sleeping in, like, a hostel. There's very few options for you at this point. But if you're willing to sleep on Bourbon Street, which, I mean, let's face it.
I think a lot of people will.
You won't be alone.
Mm-hmm.
Then
This is your chance.
Yeah, you can get into the game. This might be your year.
Do you have an all-natural hack to keep you or your kids healthy? I don't know about you, but my house is falling apart. Hayden, my older daughter, had strep throat.
Yeah.
Her ears are still clogged. Dakota had the flu. She's getting over it. Her hacking cough is so bad she can barely breathe at night.
That's awful. That's rough.
Yeah. No, it's a mess. And I feel like everybody's sick, and they're sick for a long time, and it's all the bad stuff. But Hayden, her ear got clogged, and it wasn't unpopping, even after all the antibiotics and everything. So I kept getting messages from my friends like, just pour olive oil in her ear. Just put the olive oil in her ear. So I made a video, a reel on Instagram, and I posted it because I was curious. I'm like, before I just pour some oil into this girl's ear, I'm like, is this a real thing or not? And there was so many different takes on whether or not it would work.
Yeah.
So ultimately, people were like, yeah, go ahead, put the olive oil in her ear.
It's not going to kill her.
Right.
Regardless.
And then somebody also told me, take an onion, bake the onion, and then pour hot water over it and let the steam go into her ear.
I mean, how are you supposed to even do that?
Well,
we have an onion steamer apparatus.
What I did was I put the onion in the oven.
You did this?
Uh-huh. No. Raven.
Your poor daughter.
She couldn't hear, Raven. What was I supposed to do?
Okay. So, I mean, I need to know, what did anything happen?
Hayden, how's your ear feel?
Clogged.
Still?
Yeah.
So you don't think that the putting the oil drops inside was good?
I don't think it worked.
How about the onion?
I think that just made my ear smell.
Let me ask you a question. When did you do this exactly?
I don't know. Earlier in the week? Monday?
So she's got to go the rest of the week? Because that's not... Listen, if you steam an onion next to somebody's ear...
Yeah.
I mean, I've never done it before, but I'm imagining that's more than one shower. To get that smell off of you, combined with the olive oil, that's more than one shower she's got to go through.
I went to the pediatrician 4 times in the last 8 days.
That's a lot.
I am tired, and I just want my children to feel better.
Right. If somebody came through with a horse-drawn wagon right now and was like, take this snake oil, you would buy it.
I was like,
Take my jewels, sir, please.
And of course, I'm a fool, because I just read what people write on Instagram, and I'm like, let me see. So I tried it, and I'm looking at all the other things that people wrote. So I'm going to read some of the home hacks
please,
that people have.
Please do. Yeah.
Stick a clove of garlic in it.
Oh, yeah,
that's
that sounds like a doctor's order.
Yeah.
That's what I heard, they said. That might be the most honest statement of all of those, because they just said, that's what I've heard. They've never done it. They wouldn't try it. Don't do that near me, but yeah.
My mom dropped vodka in my ear when I had ear pain. I believe I slept after that.
You know what? I actually had that done when I was younger, too.
Really? Did it work?
I mean, I feel like it did, yeah. Okay. I mean, they were trying anything, so. Mm-hmm.
Prunes, oats, and grated coconut with sugar or honey. I don't have any of those things.
What am I, a horse?
I don't know. I don't know.
What?
Listen to this comment. Yeah. I had an ear infection when I was 15, and my mom, instead of taking me to the doctor, put perfume in it because someone told her to do that. And thanks to her, my ear is messed up. I hear popping noises all the time and develop tinnitus.
Oh, that's terrible and painful.
Right.
I feel like everybody in America has tinnitus, though.
Okay. Do you have a hack for keeping your kids healthy, you and your kids?
Does it involve a horse and oats?
Do you have a hack that actually works when your kids are sick? Or maybe for you, you do it all the time to keep yourself healthy, too. It is rampant across the country. The flu outbreak, everybody's sick. My kids are sick with it, too.
Yeah, there's norovirus. There's all sorts of stuff going around.
RSV.
It's a mess.
Oh, yeah. Gosh, I can go on and on and on. I put olive oil drops in my daughter's ear trying to unclog them. She had strep throat.
Verdict? Did it work? Did it not work?
It did not work.
Sad.
I think I'm looking at my fifth visit to the pediatrician soon this month. How about you? Do you have something that works? 1-800-330-9999. Janine, you have a hack?
A hack I found out too late. I have four kids that are grown, and they were little monkeys, two with autism. And someone told me about essential oils, and I made this concoction of cardamom, a little frankincense, a little lavender, fractionated coconut oil, and I put it in that diffuser. Mm-hmm. And I saw all four of my kids watching TV and being quiet. And it's called the Peaceful Child Recipe.
What?
Essential oil. I'm shocked.
Wait a minute.
I don't even want to give a brand or a name. I'm not advertising. I just love essential oils.
Yes.
The
magic elixir.
Yeah, recipe. I mean, I'll take any magic potion to make my kids behave and feel better. Oh my gosh, Peaceful Child
it
Recipe.
It even worked for mom. It worked for mom in the tub with a little frankincense, lavender, and orange peel, all that essential
oil
drop.
It's time for private time when you put in that mix.
Yeah.
Right, I also would rub it on there. I would rub it on the bottom of their feet when they weren't peeking, and they'd go to sleep too.
All right,
when they weren't peeking, when they weren't looking.
Yeah.
Had to sneak up on him.
Here comes mom with the peaceful child.
Right.
Oh,
those kids were like, get that hippie oil away from me. Hi, Jennifer. What's your hack?
Gosh.
Your hack, your cure-all?
Myofascial release. Go to a massage therapist or physical therapist. And did the pediatrician check to make sure that the eardrum hasn't turned inside out from being stuffed up so long?
Oh, yeah. No, they tried that. They looked at that. She's been there four times in 8 days.
Yeah, and I keep bringing them in because I think they're wrong. Okay. They're like, lady, her ears are clear.
Myofascial release. So a massage of the face can release the muscles and release the tightness, and it can open the ear.
Do you think I can massage your face? I could do it?
I mean, you know.
No, never mind.
That was a quick no.
You idiot.
She's like, you'll dislodge her jaw.
You know what you're doing.
Yeah, you'll hurt her, right.
Like, you know what you're doing.
You can't unleash those hands. No, you don't know what you're doing.
You don't know what you're doing.
She shut you down quick.
She was like, no, you fool.
And Raven, what's your cure-all, your hack?
What about swimmer's eardrops?
Well, that's what I thought the olive oil would do, because everybody kept saying it was kind of the exact same thing.
The drops are alcohol-based, so they break it up.
Okay.
Oh, back to the vodka.
All right.
There we go. Right.
Back to CVS and Walgreens today, in addition to buying more children's Tylenol.
Not to be dramatic or anything, but if a man is in my Pilates class, my day is automatically ruined. It's over. Canceled.
That was the TikTok that started it all, the movement to get men out of Pilates and yoga classes.
Okay. What's our problem there when we're there? What is the problem with men when we're at yoga and Pilates?
So this woman posted this TikTok. It went viral, and then everybody started jumping on the bandwagon talking about it. And they're saying that men are being shamed for grunting and slurping while attending fitness classes.
Is there a lot of slurping?
I think it depends on the kind of yoga and the kind of Pilates it is.
Okay.
I guess.
But some of them generate more saliva than others, is what you're telling me?
They're saying that they make unnecessary noises more than anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it says in general, having men at those classes is making them very uncomfortable, and they don't want them there.
Okay.
So we sent producer Julie around the office to see the office squad and to ask them what they thought about all this.
Would you be offended if you were not allowed into a women's only yoga class?
No, not at all. Why would I want to be in a women's only yoga class anyways? This is hot yoga? I don't want to be in hot yoga. That's oof.
He just called y'all stinky. That's what he did.
You ever go to a hot yoga class, Raven?
I can't say that I have.
All the bodily functions come out, and for some reason, it's always the guys.
Okay.
I had to stop going because I couldn't keep a straight face because I'm like a six-year-old child.
So once again, guys aren't allowed to your hot yoga class either, if you were going to do that.
I will say, I don't want to sound sexist or anything, but
yeah. But in this case, it's okay.
Like when we used to do Zumba classes, there were some guys that you were happy to have there, but there were some guys that were there to be creeps and to watch girls dance. And like, I understand.
That's totally creepy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that should not be allowed.
Are there men classes too?
So you would go if it was a co-ed class?
Yeah, I would go if it's a co-ed class. But if it's just for women, you know, that's for them. I'm not gonna intrude.
Okay.
So I think most people are like that. You got two types of people, right? One people that are like, that class is not for me, and then others that are like, oh, I'm gonna sue somebody.
Right.
Do you think it would be weird if a man was in your yoga or Pilates class?
No, I don't think it would be weird, but he'd have to be in the front so he get a good view.
Okay.
Whoa.
Wait a minute. So that goes both ways. All right.
Okay.
Hello.
I didn't see that coming, Angela. All right.
I named her. Okay. Look at you.
Would you feel like it would be weird if a man was in your yoga or Pilates class?
Oh, not at all. I would do extra stretches and I would be really into it. I'd give him a show and make him want to come back for more.
Oh.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean,
what is happening
here? Who are the
people
we work with?
Right.
Yeah.
Like, you got some straight pumas out there ready to attack. Wow.
Do you feel like it would be weird if you were not allowed in a woman's yoga or Pilates class?
I guess it wouldn't be nice. I really don't want to go, though, so having the excuse to not go would be pretty cool. I mean, I guess that's not cool, but I think it's cool.
He just doesn't want to go do anything.
Yeah, but it's not nice, he says.
Yeah, it's not nice.
Would you feel uncomfortable if a man was in your all-women's yoga or Pilates class?
I know I wouldn't feel uncomfortable. I don't know why it would be all women's, right? Isn't it all about inclusivity? And men should do yoga, too. It's good for their mental health.
Yes, and I agree with that. But
not everything has to be about inclusivity.
Can't we just have places where they have men's classes and females' classes? Or yeah. We got rid of that.
I don't have any problem with that.
Is that okay?
It's not allowed anymore.
I don't know if that's all. I don't know.
It's too bad. All right.
This is the year that we break a Guinness World Record. It's our New Year's resolution of what we're going to do. And if you missed it, we had a whole thing where each of us on the show pitched an idea. And ultimately, what you selected was for producer Julie to put how many socks on, Julie?
I would have to put 29 socks on in 30 seconds.
On 1 foot.
Yes.
Yeah. So, Raven, every once in a while, we get an email and it just lights up my face and I just get so excited. So, Julie's been working hard at figuring out if she can actually do this.
She's in training.
Training.
If you've ever seen any of the Rocky movies, it's like that, but with socks, mm-hmm. Right? Yeah, we get it.
And yeah. I get this email and it says, we heard about your attempt to break the world record for putting on socks. We would love to help. I am Mama Bear at John's Crazy Socks, an online sock company inspired by John Lee Cronin, my son, a young man with Down syndrome, and his love of colorful and fun socks that he calls his crazy socks. He and his father, my husband, Mark X. Cronin, started the company as a social enterprise with the mission of spreading happiness. With more than 4,000 sock varieties, John's Crazy Socks is now the world's largest sock store.
Wow.
And more than half our employees have a differing ability, and we are always striving to show what individuals with differing abilities can accomplish when given an opportunity.
Front page. We've got dinosaur socks here right now.
Yeah, I love
right.
This.
Yes.
New favorite company.
I was pumped. Can we support your attempts to break the record by furnishing some socks that you can use? Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes, you can.
Yeah, appreciate your help, John. Look at this.
Yeah.
They've got solar system socks.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It says we have socks in all silhouettes and sizes that could be organized and strategically put and all that. Okay. So we're super excited about that. We're like, yes, we would love a partner 100%. In this feat.
That's a breakthrough.
But yeah. Except for one problem. Mm. Julie, you are given the task of starting to practice. And here is some audio from the video.
I have a strategy. I'm going to go with one of the tighter socks first and then go out to more of a fuzzy sock situation. I think this foot is going to be my go-to.
What foot did you choose?
I went with my right because then I could keep it up on my knee.
Okay.
You can't keep the left one up on your knee?
Not as
you
well.
Only turn
it's like
left.
It's a dominant
turn right.
Knee.
Well, I guess it's like the way you cross your legs, right?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
So then she actually tried.
Ready, set, go. One. This is harder than I thought. Two.
One.
Okay. Three.
What?
It's getting very uncomfortable. Four. Five. Six. Seven. Eight. Nine. Okay. The sock's nine, and I had 5 seconds left. We're going to need some bigger socks. This is, like, huge.
What? Julie,
I mean, winded.
You catch a groove, but I mean, like, you're like the talking in between the first ones. I need you concentrating. I need you to the grindstone.
I was out of breath, too.
Right.
Your anxiety. She's running hot. She's sweating.
I realized how far I was not getting.
Yeah.
When you realized after the third sock,
yeah,
you couldn't just break a Guinness. You pitched it.
I know.
As I will break the Guinness World Record
right.
for putting,
like,
the most
no problem.
Socks on one. I got
yeah.
this.
I yeah. know.
All right, but listen. No big deal, but John's crazy socks is counting on you.
Okay, right.
Right.
I'm excited about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they have different sizes, obviously,
yeah.
of
Which
socks.
Is the
so that's what you need
part.
To do. Yeah.
Yeah. Because yeah. we can have small socks and then they can get bigger as we get on more, as I get up to the 20s.
Maybe
yeah.
you can have them on some sort of like pre-stretched platform or something.
Exactly.
A mold.
Yes.
A mold so we can fire them onto your foot.
So we're waiting for the rules from Guinness.
Yes.
We've reached out to them and they told us they wouldn't come on the air with us. Boom.
Yeah, multiple times.
I mean, why?
Like, we're so busy. Do you want to send us a plane ticket?
What are you so busy doing? Just pick up the phone and call us back. But okay. But now I'm going to make them mad. But we're trying to figure out, can we help her put on the socks or she have to put them on herself? We have questions and we're working on it. And that is your Guinness World Record update. We're on it. Every day we check in with a couple. They let us know what their disagreement is about, and then it's up for you to decide who's right. Powered by NHTSA, crashes can happen to even the safest of drivers.
That's where driver assistance technologies come in. New features that have the potential to save lives.
Learn more at nhtsa.gov/drivertech. Paid for by NHTSA. Hector and Alana. Alana, what's going on?
So my husband went out this past weekend, and he ran into one of my coworkers, and she asked him if he was my husband, and he said no. So I just want to get your opinion on this. Do you think that's weird? Like, I felt like he should just own up to the fact that he's my husband. It was just very strange.
Hold on a second. Hector, what happened?
I don't talk to strange women. I just don't like to engage. I felt like this woman was sort of making a move on me, like flirting with me. And I felt like if I gave her an inch, she would take a yard. And so, yeah, I told her that I was just very dismissive because I was hanging out with my buddies and I was having a couple of drinks and I wasn't there to meet her.
So let me understand here, though. Did you denied who you were? Did she seem to know your name or anything like that? Or she just said to me, aren't you Alana's husband?
I mean, it's none of her business who I am.
But that's what she did. She came up and she said, hi, are you Alana's husband?
Yeah. And I was like, no, thank you.
Interesting.
I mean, it's awkward. It's weird. On the other hand, I get it where, you know, you're out with your friends or whatever in certain situations, certain people's perception that any engagement with somebody of the opposite sex sometimes looks like something that you don't want to have to explain at some point, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And I feel like I was doing it because I am loyal to Alana and because I just, I don't want to have any interaction with any other women ever. Like, she's my person. Mm. So,
right. But if somebody comes up to you and says, aren't you so-and-so's husband or aren't you so-and-so's wife, shouldn't you admit that you're married to that person? Doesn't it seem more shady that if you're at a bar drinking and somebody asks you that and you deny it?
I mean, I get how that would feel. Just for my own clarity's sake, did this person say, I'm Alana's coworker, aren't you her husband? Or did she just walk up and say, hey, are you Alana's husband?
All right, let me try to do it the way she did it. She comes up to me like this. She says, hello, hi, handsome. How are you? Aren't you Alana?
Okay,
husband?
That's enough.
She put her arm on me.
All right.
Like, and I said, no, I'm not.
That does change things, you know? I mean, it does.
So,
Alana, what did your coworker say?
Well, she came up to me the next day and was like, hey, I think I ran into your husband at the bar the other day. He was watching football. And it's like, oh, yeah, he was at that bar. He was watching football. And she's like, yeah, it was so weird. He said that he wasn't married to you. And I'm like, to me, I don't understand how difficult it is to be like, yes, I am her husband, and to disengage at that point.
Right.
That's the truth.
Sure.
And it's easy to not engage with this woman, which you claim to not want to, and I do believe you, but I just don't understand why disengaging when saying that you are my husband is more difficult. That just doesn't make sense to me.
I mean, I get it. Although, she sounds like trouble. I'm just going to say it. She sounds like she might be trouble.
I agree, but you never deny being somebody's spouse.
Mm. Whose side are you on? Should Hector have told this woman that he is, in fact, married to Alana, or blowing her off anyway is just fine?
Is there ever a situation where if you are asked if you are married to a specific person, and in fact, you are, you should say, no, I don't know that person. Nope. No, who? Nope. No, I don't know them.
If they're a fugitive, maybe you should say that, right?
Hector was out at a bar with friends when one of his wife Alana's coworkers approached him and said, hey, aren't you Alana's husband? And he said, nope, nope. Not me.
Right. Mm-hmm. And Alana obviously has a problem with that because the friend came back around and told her this when they got back to work on Monday.
Yes.
But you know what? Here's the thing. Hector says, Alana, you know, your friend was messy. All right. She was drunk and annoying. And I had no time for that. Who cares? I'm all about you. What do I need to be engaging in conversation with this person? And you know what? All those things make a point.
Yeah. But she says, like, if anybody says, are you my husband? The answer is yes.
Am I testifying?
Oh, yeah. What do you think? Jeff, whose side are you on?
I'm on his side. She's coming in drunk and stuff. Something's going to come out of that. She takes a picture with him. A friend takes video. And it becomes a thing, and it's not a thing. Why she got to trust him? Did the right thing.
I mean, look at him. He opens it up to even the next line of this. He's like, there's going to be a video.
Right.
Somebody's going to deep fake me. Mm. It wasn't me. Right. Jeff wasn't there. We know the story, Jeff. Thanks.
Do not deny me. That's what Alana's saying. And I agree with her. Hector, her husband, was approached when he was out at a bar with friends by one of her coworkers. And granted, the coworker was a little sloppy. Everybody's got one of those coworkers that's over flirty.
Mm-hmm.
And she went up to him and said, wait a minute, aren't you Alana's husband? And Hector said, nope, nope, nope.
Don't know who that is.
Wouldn't even start a conversation. Nope, don't know who she is.
Yeah, turn around, walk away.
So when Alana was approached by her coworker on Monday at work, and she was like, I saw your husband over the weekend, and he said he wasn't married to you. She was not a happy lady.
I mean, I don't know, though. Everybody knows somebody like that. That's just trouble, right? Like, they want to dig things up. Why is she approaching the husband like that if she truly was that loose with the conversation and that with the flirting? Like, I get why it would totally be annoying. On top of it, you kind of feel like it's a trap, says Hector. And he says, I'm a one-woman man. I don't need these kind of problems. Take it away.
Right.
And then, of course, the friend runs right over to the wife and reports that on Monday. Come on.
Yeah, but Hector, that's what Hector's argument. He's like, I just didn't want anybody to talk to me. I didn't know who she was. I thought she was just some girl that was trying to hit on me.
Yeah, but Alana says, listen, if we're married,
somebody asks you,
you better say that we're married.
1-800-330-9999. Mike, whose side are you on?
I've had this happen to me before, and I always tell a drunk girl at a bar when I was younger, no, I don't know what you're talking about because I don't even want them striking up any conversation with me. I just want them gone.
Nick, what do you think?
I think he's got to just turn around and say, that's my wife. That's the end of the story. Stop with the shenanigans, whatever it might be. Who cares what the other person's all about if you're that dedicated like he says?
Mm. What typically follows shenanigans, Anna?
Shenanigans? After you have shenanigans?
Yeah, hijinks.
Right. Yes. Debauchery?
Yeah, tomfoolery.
Debauchery.
Oh, yeah.
Debauchery.
Oh, no!
I said it wrong.
Lisa, what do you think? Whose side are you on today?
I'm on his wife's side because I think he should have admitted he was married to her because it brings embarrassment to her at work the next day. A lot of embarrassment. It gets around that he's at a bar and he's trying not to admit he's married.
Yeah.
That's I agree.
I'm lobbying for name tags, you know? As a guy, like, we men should have to wear name tags. That's
Why?
All I'm saying.
Saying what?
And
married,
just identify our
unmarried,
spouse. That's right.
Single.
That's right.
In a committed relationship.
That's right. Any one of those things. You know what? That's for you guys to decide what it says on there. We just wear them.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Alana, our audience agreed with you. Hector, granted, it was not a position that you wanted to be in. You did not want to engage in conversation. But when somebody pointedly asks you, are you married to this person? The answer should be yes.
Okay. And then I get stuck in a conversation with some rando for 45 minutes.
No, you can turn and walk away, in my opinion, after that. But at that point, you've been called to testify. Are you, in fact, this person or not this person. And in that regard, you are to answer yes.
Yes.
Says the audience. Mm-hmm. Alana, right. You've got to be relieved. At least people are hearing how you're feeling.
I just feel like it's really that simple. It's not that complicated, guys.
Well, your coworker sounds messy. Just going to say that. But, she is. You know, hey. Mm-hmm.
Can I just say, my name is Hector, and I am married to Alana.
Good job. Good job.
Well done, Hector.
Thank
All
you.
Right. If you have a problem, too, send an email. couplescore@annonraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
$6,700 is the jackpot for today's Can't Beat Raven. Hi, is this Karen, Dana, and Carrie?
Yes.
Hi, yes.
We've got the lunch ladies, and they are ready to take Raven down.
Good luck, ladies. That's lunch right. ladies hold a special place in my heart, but I'm still not going to be merciful during this game. So you got
to
bring it.
Well, and we love you guys. We listen every day. So whether we win or lose, we don't care. We get to talk to you.
Oh, they're you so guys are nice. So sweet. Can you please tell Raven to get out of here?
Please.
Can it please be pizza day? Good luck, girls. $6,700.
Thank you.
Oh, tater tots. Grilled cheese. My grandmother was a lunch lady, so I have a special place in my heart. Okay, here we go. Raven's out of here. He can't hear us. We have 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. He'll come back in, get the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. You ready to play?
Ready.
Okay. Number one, the buyer's house from season 4 of Stranger Things is listed for $675,000. It's actually located in Albuquerque, New Mexico. But in the show, they say it's in what state?
California.
Number two, Jelly Roll and Bunny XO just got a new donkey named Nova. It's to be the companion to their other donkey. Now, strangely enough, their other donkey shares a name with the donkey from Shrek. What's his name?
Oh my God. Donkey.
Okay, number three. Barron Trump has been dealing with a ton of paparazzi following him around the college campus, and now he has security detail. What school does he go to? What college?
NYU.
Number four, last week's fire aid concert raised over $100 million to help with wildfire relief efforts in L.A. There's also a 90-track benefit album that's coming out on Friday for only 24 hours to help raise more money. More than 30 artists performed, but what comedian who starred in City Slickers also spoke?
Billy Crystal.
And number five, Jesse Eisenberg says he doesn't want to be associated with Mark Zuckerberg because he doesn't agree with his actions. He earned an Oscar nomination for portraying him in what movie?
I was the internet one. Oh, my God, I don't remember.
That's time, guys.
Sorry.
That's all right. They did so great. 4 out of 5.
All right, ladies. $6,700. Here we go.
All right.
Go.
Number one, the buyer's house from season 4 of Stranger Things is listed for $675,000 in real life.
Okay.
It's actually located in Albuquerque, New Mexico, but in the show, they say it's in what state?
California.
Yes. Number two, Jelly Roll and Bunny XO just got a new donkey, and they named it Nova to be the companion to their other donkey.
Yeah, they got a whole farm.
Yeah, their other donkey shares a name with Donkey from Shrek. What's the donkey's name from Shrek?
Donkey. And when he first got it, he thought it was laying down because it was so short.
Number three, Barron Trump has been dealing with a ton of paparazzi following him around his college campus and now his security detail. What school does he go to?
Does he go to NYU?
Yes. Number four, last week's fire aid concert raised over $100 million to help with wildfire relief efforts in L.A. There's also a 90-track benefit album coming out on Friday for only 24 hours to raise money. More than 30 artists performed, but what comedian who starred in City Slickers also spoke?
That was Billy Crystal.
Yes, he lost his house, too.
Yeah.
You guys are tied at 4. Number five, Jesse Eisenberg says he doesn't want to be associated with Mark Zuckerberg because he doesn't agree with his actions. He earned an Oscar nomination for portraying him in what film?
The Social Network.
Yes. All right, ladies. I'm sorry. He beat you 5-4 today. That's going to get you an Anna and Raven t-shirt.
Thank you so much, guys, and I can't beat Raven.
Better luck next time, girls.
Love you guys.
Thank you. Love you guys right back.
Hold on, guys.
$6,800 tomorrow, Anna. Whoa, that's a lot of money.
I want to thank Jesse, who supplied one of the questions I used today. If you have an idea for a question, too, help me out. Head to annaandraven.com.